Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
Hey, I'm Marshall Paylette. I'm the writer and director of Private Jones, playing now at the Signature Theater.
Yes, it's a world premiere of Private Jones at Signature Theater. It's starting February 6th today, as of this taping today, and running through March 10th. So thank you so much for joining us. I guess before anything else, why don't you, since you wrote it and are directing it, why don't you tell us the general premise of the story of the show?
Yeah, for sure. So, well, we're a company of hearing deaf and hard of hearing creatives, actors, and designers who have come together to tell the story of a deaf Welsh sniper in World War I, mostly from his perspective. So the character has recently lost his hearing, so he speaks and he reads lips, and that allows him to fake his way past enlistment and into this horrible war, made all the more horrible because he can't hear the bullets, you know, he can't hear the explosions. You know, we use a number of languages to tell our story: spoken English, American Sign Language, British Sign Language, and a range of theatrical devices like this live onstage, actor-driven sound foley to tell our story. You know, ultimately we're interested in exploring how we value each other, and you know, how we do and don't empathize with people that we don't understand, how that changes when we're asked to commit violence, which is a fun challenge for a hearing and deaf company creating this show for, you know, for both a hearing and deaf audience.
Wow. This is so cool. And I want to ask you more about the cast and crew in a second, but real quick, one more follow up on the actual story. So
yeah,
Gomer Jones is the name of the protagonist. How does his hearing loss, what challenges does that create during the war? And what maybe does it give him any benefits too? You know, does it give him a leg up too to be able to block out some of the explosions and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, what challenges does it create? Like a lot, you know, it's very difficult. It's very difficult for the character. You know, but yeah, I mean, in terms of what does he block out? I don't know. You know, what the show explores a lot is empathy and how we empathize with people who we do and don't understand. And so, for him to look at someone's mouth and imagine their words being spoken is a choice. And so he can choose when to turn that on and when to turn that off. I think it's potentially easier for him than it would be for other people. But for the most part, it's quite a challenge for him.
Right, as you can imagine. Well, who plays Gomer? Who plays our protagonist here?
His name is Johnny Link. He is a amazing actor. Some people might know him from My Life with the Walter Boys, which is on Netflix right now. He's one of the Walter Boys. But he is just an incredible musical theater performer and film performer who is hard of hearing. So when he's performing, he has an earpiece in where we're piping the sound directly into his ears that I believe goes over his hearing aids. So he's an incredible talent. He's amazing in the show.
Wow, that's awesome. And you know, dote on some of the other cast members. You know, as you said, it's a mix of hearing, deaf, and hard of hearing actors. So yeah, why don't you just tell us who else is in the show, and you know, and where, you know, where they come from, where they hail from? Are they from around here? You know, I would love some background on them.
Sure. I mean, it's they come from various places. About a little bit more than half of our actors are from the DC area. Some others are from New York. They're incredible performers. Our deaf actors have, you know, been on Broadway and in movies, our hearing actors as well. Within our show, you know, yeah, as you said, we have, you know, deaf and hard of hearing and hearing actors, but everyone does everything. You know, we don't have like the deaf cast and the hearing cast and the hard of hearing cast. Everyone plays a soldier. Everyone plays a deaf factory worker. Like if you're in our show, you are doing everything the whole time, including choreography. And so, you know, we have these dance numbers, these military numbers where, you know, some of our company, they can't hear, like, for example, you can't be like, okay, well, when the drums go like that, you go like this. Or when you hear the trumpet go like that, you go like that. We need visual cues so that the entire ensemble is in unison. And so it takes a lot of design from our choreographer and our movement team to like design that in a way where it's not obvious to the audience that we're giving visual cues. And, you know, members of the hearing ensemble are giving visual cues, and the members of the deaf ensemble are receiving the visual cues and completing the choreography. It's really incredible, especially when you watch it, you would have no idea that we have all of this internal cueing built in, but the company's amazing. When I was doing my research, this show was inspired by a couple sentences I found in an article. I stumbled upon this story of this guy named Gomer Jones. There's only a couple sentences, and one of them was he was indistinguishable from his fellow soldiers in combat. And I would say that our deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing ensemble on stage are indistinguishable from one another. It's really quite a feat and a testament to how talented they are.
Oh, absolutely. And I love seeing, you know, more deaf and hard of hearing actors getting roles in all types of shows around the area. And we interviewed James Caverly. A lot of people remember from Only Murderers in the Building and a bunch of stuff. But he was in The Music Man at Olney Theater a couple years ago. There was Kevon Woodard in The Last of Us, HBO, the zombie show. He's from around here, the kid. Yeah. I think it's a great thing. And so, yeah, just speak. Are you seeing the DC community, you know, open up for that? I know, you know, Gallaudet's here and Maryland School for the Deaf is up here in Frederick where I'm from. It's a big area for, you know, diversity as far as that's concerned, I think.
Yeah, the community is huge here. And I think that you're right. Like there's a hunger for more representation. You know, you want the people that you see on stage to reflect the population that you live in. And I think that this is, so there, yeah, there's a hunger for it, DC. It's not just in DC, it's all over the country. You know, you're seeing more representation, deaf and hard of hearing representation in stage and TV and film. And yeah, I think it's important. I think that it is cool. I am happy to be a part of it. And I hope that it inspires other artists to, you know, write more characters who are deaf and hard of hearing and encourages, you know, deaf and hard of hearing performers. If they think that there's not a place for them in entertainment, I think that that's wrong.
Absolutely. And another one I forgot there, speaking of the Maryland School for the Deaf in Frederick, there was their football team was highlighted in an Oscar nominated documentary called Audible a couple years ago. So it's lots of good work. Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Did you said you were inspired by reading an article. Was there also any, you know, any family or friends or relatives or colleagues or anyone that you knew from the deaf and hard of hearing community like that made you, you know, want to do this? Or is it just like, hey, a good story is a good story?
Not before I started working on it. I mean, I have been working on it for a couple of years now. I started writing it right before the pandemic. Started getting collaborators, deaf and hard of hearing collaborators who worked with me on it pretty early on. And so, you know, I've spent a lot of time in ASL rooms since then. But before then, no, I just was, look, I mean, I wanted to do a World War I story. I wanted to find an interesting perspective that necessitated an interesting staging, you know, where like, right, because I tell you, like, okay, it's a story about a deaf sniper in World War I told from his perspective. And immediately as an audience member, you're like, how are you going to do that? Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, what are you saying to me? Those kind of challenges excite me. So when I came upon the story, I was like, I don't know how to do this. And I can't stop thinking about ways that I could try. So that's why I started writing it. I was just like, I couldn't stop thinking about the story and how I might do it on stage. Then I found my first collaborator. Her name is Alexandria Wales. She's the director of artistic sign language on this show. The basics of her job is to translate my written English into sign language, which isn't a word for word translation. You know, there's different syntax, there's artistry involved. But beyond just that, she's like, she's one of the key collaborators on the project. Like she's our deaf authority in the room, and she contributes so much to the writing and to the performances. So, you know, I'm a good friend of hers now, and a lot of these actors, well, frankly, the deaf and hard of hearing actors who are in this show are actors that I've been working with now for years in some cases. So yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm part of the deaf and hard of hearing community. I would like to say that I am, I work in close collaboration with the community, and I've been welcomed in and been treated with a lot of kindness. I've learned a lot. I've learned enough ASL to get by without an interpreter. And so, yeah, I mean, I love my collaborators. I love this community, and I'm happy to be, you know, creating a show that involves this community.
That's awesome. And then you spoke about approaching, you know, the subject matter as a director and the challenges of trying to bring it to life on stage. So how do you do it? Are there moments where, you know, you try to put us in Gomer's shoes and perspective and, you know, maybe you cut the sound out, or yeah, are there any unique ways that you try to convey it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole game. That's the whole fun of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's putting the audience in Gomer's shoes, and having the audience navigate this experience with him. Yeah. I mean, and just like, you know, just taking a step back and thinking about, you know, our goal of having this be a show that is accessible to a hearing audience and a deaf audience. Well, first of all, the whole show is open captioned. Every performance is open captioned. And we also have select performances that are ASL interpreted, you know, where ASL interpreters stand in front of the stage and are interpreting the whole show. But just at the basic level, like talking about the role of music within a musical, you know, like musicals, what does the music do? It gives energy, it creates characterization, but mostly in a musical, you know, music is emotion, right? Like you see West Side Story and you see the two lovers, they are standing across the stage from each other in a crowded gym, and there's a spotlight on each of them, and the music starts to swell. And like immediately, because of the music, you know how they're feeling and how you are supposed to feel. The show that I've written here is like 90% music. There's music the whole time, but not all of our audience is going to hear it, you know? So we have to make sure that the show looks like it sounds, like it feels, so that every audience gets the same emotional experience. So we think about that in choreography. We think about it in design. And we have this sound foley that we use. You know, sound foley is like from the radio play era. You know, you would have someone at a mic being like, "Oh, I'm entering the room now," and you'd have a person at a table with like a creaky thing that goes like creak, and then like have shoes on a table that go bump bump bump, like that sound foley, and that's still used today.
Yeah.
So we have sound foley on the stage the whole time, that has this like emotional significance for the character, such that all of the sounds that the audience is hearing, the whole audience is also seeing. That's kind of the game of our show. And yeah, speaking to what you were saying, there's moments where you hear absolutely nothing, or there's moments where you just hear tinnitus. There's moments where there's a combat scene in Act Two where there's a spotlight showing what Gomer is seeing within this crowded, messy combat scene. And so the audience is only perceiving not the sounds of war generally, but just what he is looking at very, very specifically. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think that we're doing stuff on stage that you know I haven't seen before. I think a lot of the audience won't have seen before. I think it'll be pretty cool.
Absolutely. And you know, just one final point, you know, in addition to the ASL angle, which is amazing, and I know obviously like the main angle I'm gonna play up on this, but in addition to that, just you know, it is a period piece. I mean, you're in World War One. Like, how are you visually doing that with the costume and the set, just in terms of just, you know, literally getting in the trenches?
Yeah. It's, well, our costumes are sourced from the British Isles. They are authentic Welsh World War One costumes. I guess they're not costumes. They're uniforms. They're like straight up uniforms. So yeah, I think we're certainly, putting the audience in place and time. The floor of the stage is made out of dirt. The trenches look like trenches. So I think that we're definitely putting people in a place, but we're also, you know, it's very clearly storytelling theater right from the beginning. You know, some of the actors have a relationship with the audience. Like, we can't compete with movies when it comes to authentic depictions of war. We can't. We have to find a theatrical angle. Otherwise, we're going to come up short. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch All Quiet on the Western Front or 1917. I mean, that looks and feels and sounds, and you know, like it's real war, and it's filmed on location. We are in the Signature Theater in a black box with theatrical lights and people sitting there. It's a different thing. And so, you know, we have to find ways of telling our story that are inherently theatrical, where you're like, I can't even imagine the movie version of this. I can't imagine the TV version of this. Like, this show needs to be on the stage. That's what we try to do here. And that's the way that we can, I mean, if I can speak outside of the show for a second, like, keep our industry alive. You know, we're never going to be able to compete with the special effects of film. That's not the point of theater. The point of theater is something very different. And so, yeah, we want to embrace the fact that we are storytellers. We are actors who are putting on costumes, playing pretend, going to war, pretending to be getting killed. There's no blood. There's no bloodshed. There's no gore. That's not what we're doing, you know? But I think that we can have an experience that is just as visceral, just as emotional with good writing and good performance. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Such a great point there on, you know, the doing it in theatrically in a theater space versus a movie. But I'm a movie guy too, so I really appreciate the 1917 and All Quiet on the Western Front references.
It's awesome.
And I'll throw in Paths of Glory too is one of the best too. But yeah,
absolutely, it's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary experience, you know. But like, but you have to do something different on the stage, you know. Yeah. Otherwise, like, if we're trying to do All Quiet on the Western Front in a theater, we're going to fall short. I'd rather just go on Netflix and watch All Quiet on the Western Front. You know, like I want to give our audience something that's like, damn, that was such an amazing communal experience that I could only see there, and I have to go back. It's just a different vibe.
Absolutely. Well, everybody, it sounds like a must watch. So everybody head out to Signature Theater there in Shirlington, Virginia. It is the world premiere of Private Jones. It's running now through March 10th, so get your tickets now. Hey, thanks for doing this, and congrats on writing it. That's a big deal. Hey. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.